First of all, I want to remind you, we have our Paris picnic today, starting around noon until about 2 o'clock. Plenty of food and activities for you all, so we encourage as many of you as possible to come. There was a small fellow, about 5'10", very slight build, and he goes up to heaven, and St. Peter looks through the files and so forth and says, yes, we see you've been very faithful, generous, merciful, prayerful, so you can come in. But I wonder, is there anything in particular that you've done in your life that is extraordinary, or perhaps anything heroic? The fellow says, well, yes, I stopped at a little roadside diner, and there are about 10 or 12 motorcyclists that were accosting this young woman. And I went right into the midst and said, you can't do this. You have to treat this woman with respect. And St. Peter said, that is heroic. When that happened, it's just about 10 minutes ago. The point is, we don't have to do anything heroic, but sometimes the Lord might call us to do exactly that. In the first reading from what we call 3rd Isaiah, God is saying something very bold. He says that he comes to gather the nations to see him. And many of the Jews rejoiced that they were the chosen people. But they had an attitude, many of them, that everybody else then was second class. In Jesus' day, in fact, it was common for a Jew to call a pagan, a Gentile, an unbelieving dog. Even though God said that through Abraham all nations would be blessed. And God goes further to say that even the Gentiles will go out and they will bring the scattered Jews back. And God would even make them priests and Levites, even though they're not from the family of Aaron or the tribe of Levi. It's unthinkable. But it's what God does. In the second reading, the author of the Hebrew talks about suffering as a means of teaching us that comes to the peaceful fruit of righteousness, that relying on God in the times of suffering and difficulty, whether we feel his presence or not, he will come to give us what we need. We will come to understand God's individual and passionate love for each one of us, and that love will sustain us. Finally, in the gospel, we see another question. And often in the gospels, people ask Jesus questions, and usually he doesn't answer because they're asking the wrong question. First of all, not everyone needs to know everything about everything. People can sometimes ask us questions. They might ask us our opinions of something. Sometimes they want to get a rise out of us, and they might want to kind of start an argument with us. And it's perfectly okay to say, I'd rather not say. We don't have to answer. One of the things I very often come upon in the confession, I will tell people that when they confess lying, I very often say, well, you know, some people don't need to know things. If I am your parish priest and I ask you how much money you make, I have no need to know that. If I'm your accountant and ask the same question, I need to know that. So when people ask you questions, you don't always have to answer them. The point is that in this fellow, he's asking, are there going to be just few people that are going to be saved? And basically, Jesus says, you don't need to know that. All you really need to do is to work on yourself being saved. The fellow may think, well, only a few are going to be saved, then wow, that makes me one of the few, and so forth. Or if Jesus were to say many, he might probably say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, that's not the answer. Jesus answers, enter through the narrow gate. It means we can't just be proud that we are Catholic Christians, we go to Mass on Sunday and so forth. We have to work at living our faith in genuine charity, genuine love for those around us. Not just our family and friends, not just those whom we love and from whom we get love, but we are also called to love those who are unlovable, to act with mercy toward them instead of striking back, to pray for those people, asking God to give them what he knows they need, not what we think they ought to have. God already knows better than we do. God calls us to forgive those who have done us wrong. Understanding, first of all, sometimes when people have hurt us, it's not from any kind of malicious action. It's just because they were not thinking. But even if they deliberately wanted to hurt us, we still have to forgive them. Whether they ask for forgiveness or not, we forgive them from the heart, praying for them, asking God to give them his grace, and asking God to help us to be kind in response to them. Living our faith means being generous enough to share our faith with those around us, inviting others to walk with us to the Lord, to rejoice understanding that God will never try us beyond our strength. And when it seems that we are being tried beyond our strength, that reminds us that we have to rely on God's strength rather than our own. We have to ask God for the grace to rejoice that God loves each one of us individually and passionately and calls each one of us to live with him here and now and forever in the world to come.